Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
What's left? Piece of my mind, not to forget it. And this morning, I want to talk to you about a new season or Groundhog Day. How many of you here have ever seen the movie Groundhog Day? Who has not seen the movie Groundhog Day? Who has no clue what I'm talking about? Groundhog Day is a day that just keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. And interestingly, I find that in our lives, how many of you have discovered that stuff keeps repeating itself? Come on, am I right? In marriages, you generally argue over the same nonsense you've been arguing for the last 10 years. That went down well. Your kids, who has some of those creatures? Most of the stuff you probably deal with your kids is the same stuff. And many people I watch, by the way, if you want a scripture, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to use the Bible a lot. How many of you like it when we use the Bible when we preach? You know, I find a lot of people today, I do a lot of secular seminars, and I got to say, I think I put more Bible in my secular seminars than most churches these days. Because the only one thing you do have to as a guideline for your life is the Word of God, not human emotion. Let me tell you something about God. God, in the book of Revelation, when God has to deal with stuff, you see Jesus, he's all love, he's all kindness, but in Revelation, the Bible says that he puts a breastplate around his heart. Because there's two sides of Jesus, God and man. Give me away if you understand that. So he has to put away the human emotion. As a matter of fact, you may have heard me share this, but when God sent a flood on the earth, he never let Noah shut the door. It says, and God shut the door. Come on, say, and God shut the door. Some of you, God's shutting doors and you keep opening them. Not you, these are other people. How many of you get your crowbar out and try and open a door that God shut? I've done that in ministry. God shuts the door and I'm still there hoping, dreaming, praying. And God says to me, and God says, look at this, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Have you got a Bible here? Well, give me a wave if you got a Bible. All right, great. See, what happens is I was thinking about this yesterday. Now we put them on screens and we teach people not to bring their Bibles to church. Bring your Bible to church. All right, this is going down good. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, watch this. Moses, my servant, is dead. That's a nice way to start a conversation. Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan. I want you to notice something. Arise, therefore. Now, when you read therefore in the Bible, that's what it's there for. And go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving. Watch God's word. To the land which I am giving them. Not to the land that I will give you, the land I'm giving them. It's a done deal. Everybody say it's a done deal. Your destiny, your blessing is a done deal. It's a done deal. To God, it's a done deal. Your future is a done deal. Your favor is a done deal. Your grace is a done deal. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're staring. In God, it's a done deal. However, it's a done deal. Watch God's done deal. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Done deal. However, I'll get to that in a second. Don't run ahead of yourself, Pat. From the wilderness to and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Watch this. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I won't leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you will divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers. Only be strong and of good courage. And then in verse 9, he says again, only be strong and of good courage. Look at someone and say, be strong and of good courage. Whenever God tells you, be strong and good courage, you know there's problems coming. Now we're entering an end of a decade. Where were you in 2010? What was your life like? Who was in your life? And more importantly, who's not in your life now? Who are your friends? Boy, your silence has gone loud. Who are your family members that are there and now are not there? Where were you? What were you doing? Who were you hanging around with? I can remember my 2010 very clearly. And many people, what we do, we come to a new year and we kind of start thinking, well, this year, this is my year. This is our year, 2020. This is my year, 2020. And we think because the clock ticks over, things are going to change. Look at me, saints. There is no magic. There is no Tinkerbell that comes along on New Year's Eve and goes, boom, your life is now changed. Give me a wave if you understand that. Come on. Come on, give me a wave. Just because it changed. And then we think, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a New Year's whatever it promise. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get fit. I deal with my temper. I mean, you're a little more loving me, but more generous. And oh, man alive, I tell you, on New Year's Eve, we're like, whoa! And then New Year's Day comes along. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to get a membership. Just because having a membership will help me. Give me a wave if you still love me this morning. We think the proclamation, and we think that the changing of a clock changes us into a new season. And what we find is we keep going through the same old stuff. Give me a wave if you're getting it. We get on this treadmill. Do you know why? Four things. Hopefully I'll get through all four of them. But before I give you the four, let me give you what we need to do. I have a student called Glenn Twiddle. Glenn is arguably probably my greatest student I've ever had. As far as I know, Glenn's not a believer. He met me in Park Road, Milton, over 10 years ago. Actually, it was 9 years ago. He was a broke heavy metal guitarist running a real estate office in Park Road, or in Milton. Today, he's a multimillionaire for one reason only. He implements stuff. Many of us, doesn't the Bible say, faith without works is dead? Doesn't the Bible say that when it comes to the Word of God, we can read it, and it says, then you look in the mirror, and you go away, and you don't do nothing. Give me a way if you understand it. The first thing we're going to do, how many of you want to build a great 2020 and a great new decade? Oh, good Lord. This section looks like a bunch of Methodists. Come on. I'd say Presbyterians, but they're too lively for this lot. Who would like to begin a new season? Come on, a new season. Yeah. No, not just shouting and screaming. Number one, have a burial service. Matthew 8:21. This is Jesus, not me. I remember one day they said to Billy Graham, you know, you're saying this. He said, I didn't say that. Jesus did. Jesus said these words. A couple of guys come to Jesus. Watch this. Matthew 8:21-22. Turn it with me in your Bible or your iPad. And it says this. Matthew 8:21-22. I'm in Mark. So, man, how many of you know it's scary when you've got glasses and you still can't see? Matthew 8:21. Do we have that scripture up there? Matthew 8:21. Let me turn there real fast, okay? And when Jesus saw the great multitude about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Everybody say the other side. How many of you want to go over to the other side? You've got to cross over. Wherever you see the word Jordan, it was a place where they had to cross onto the other side. Give me a wave if you're with me. Give me a wave. When you see, and we're going to talk about that. They came to the Jordan River and they had to go over to the other side. Everybody say, go other side. Matter of fact, when you read the Bible and we see the word Jordan and baptism, it's about going under and coming out the other side. Everybody say, the other side. If you want to go to another side, you've got to obey Jesus. Now watch what these wonderful people do. Then a certain scribe came to him and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And then Jesus says, hey, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man's got nowhere to lay his head. You never hear about the guy again. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now, this is a good kid. He's doing the second commandment. Have you ever met people? I remember once when I was going through some major therapy in a crisis in my life, my great Christian counselor, Ray Andrews, said, Pat, your problem is you'll break 9 commandments to keep one. This guy was honoring the second commandment and dishonoring the first. Give me away if you get it. He says, let me first. And Jesus goes, no. In life, you want to go to the other side? You've got to get priorities right. Well, it's awfully quiet in here right now. You've got to get priorities right. I remember one day a guy came up to me one day and he said to me, oh, Mr. Messina, I love your stuff. You know, I'd love to get it. He said, but I can't afford. And he's sitting there with a cigarette in his hand. And he says, my mate George got your program. Mr. Messina, changed his life. Now, this is a secular environment. Changed his life. Boom, shakalaka. Changed his life in 21 days. Now, the guy paid, I don't know, several $1,000s for the program. He implements this guy sucking on a cigarette. That afternoon, I look at him and there I see him. This great mystery of life, he's going towards the bar. Happy hour. 2 drinks for the price of one. This guy thinks the more drinks he buys, he's saving money. So there he's smoking a cigarette, drinking at the bar, and then he goes to the poker machines because they built the casino for you to get rich. And then he comes up to me the next day. He says, I'd love to get your program, but I can't afford it. I said, son, let's do some math on the board. I worked out that this young man was spending at least $12,000 a year on a $60,000 wage on smoking, alcohol, and gambling. I said, son, this is not an issue of affordability. This is an issue of wrong priorities. Let me tell you something about God. God is a God of order and priorities. And many of us, he says, let the dead bury the dead. Watch this. Jesus is saying, you got a choice, covenant or blood. Wow. Oh, I don't believe that. Blood's thicker than water. You think that's a Bible verse? Covenants? Let me give you an example. One day they come up to Jesus and said, Jesus, behold your mother and your brothers. And he says, let me tell you who my brothers and my mother is. Come on, Pastor, you know the answer. Tell them. It's they that do the will of God. Yeah. I just caught him off guard. He says, those that do the will of God. That's my family over there. I got saved when I was a teenager. And I did not have a great relationship necessarily with my family. My siblings are a lot older than me. I'm the youngest in the family. I'm the spoiled one, sort of. I'm also the one that copped the most beatings. I'm also the one that saw my father's violence towards my mother. I'm also the one that saw my mum nearly get drunk every single day of her life. But what was interesting, when I got saved, the church became my family. And one day, my sister-in-law said to me, why don't you go and get a bed and sleep in that church? And I thought, there's a word from heaven. I thought God was speaking to her. And you know why that is? Because covenant's stronger than blood. Now, I know that doesn't work out in all areas of life. Isn't it? When was the last time you ever went to a relative? Well, maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe mine are different because you can't go. I wouldn't do that to mine and say, would you pray for me? Covenant. And see, God, Jesus, saying, you got a covenant here. Now, what's interesting, I don't have time to get into this. Oh, my gosh. Don't tell me that's all I got left on the clock. That is a lying clock. This service finishes at what time? 10:30, right? I got 30 minutes to go. That's a lying clock. Kumara can wait. I love Logan. I'll tell them the same thing when I get down there. But watch, one guy says, hey, I'll follow you wherever you go, and you never hear about him. The other guy goes, hey, let me bury my father first. You would have think Jesus would have said, do you know what? He's old and he needs you right now. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. And the next thing that happens, Jesus performs a miracle. And they both missed it. He parts the sea. He stops the sea. How many miracles do we miss out on because of wrong priorities in our lives? God says to Joshua, Moses is dead. That era is dead. Just as we're a couple, I think about 10 days ago, a couple of weeks ago, someone sent me a photo of all the young people at a youth camp that I was at Richmond Temple in Beulah Heights where God called me to the ministry. And I went through that whole list. And I could tick off how many were serving God and how many weren't. And I went through the list. I could tick off the guys that were in the ministry, guys like John Spinello and John Iuliano and Emmanuel Gulo and Philip Scroy. It was an Italian youth camp, obviously. And then I started to think about all the ones that have gone away from Jesus. And I know there's people here who've been raised in church and raised in youth group. Come on, and you talk about the good old days in the youth group. Oh, come on. The good old days at church. Come on, am I right? And then you wonder where these people are and why they're falling away from God. And what people do is they blame church. They blame. Let me tell you, this week I had a guy call me. His name's Robert. I won't give you his surname. And this is one guy that was on that list. And he said, I just felt to call you. I said, are you going to church? Are you serving God? He goes, no. He goes, oh, I remember the good old days when we played bass. He was in our band and everything. Remember those days, Pat? We traveled in the schools. We came to your school, Pat. I said, Rob, I remember it well. I said, are you going to church? He goes, no, don't believe in that anymore. I said, Robert, let me tell you something about your life. You had a relationship with the pastor, because he still inboxes the old pastor. You had a relationship with the youth group. You had a relationship with the church culture, but you didn't have a relationship with Jesus. Because if you did, you'd be still there. And a lot of times, what happens is our past. Look, how many of you have ever met these people? Their past was so awful. Man, and especially American football guys in school. You know. I love that movie. Come on, what's that movie we watch? Napoleon Dynamite. Who's ever seen Napoleon? Raise your hand. Those of you that not watch it, it's a wonderful Christian movie. And he's talking about how great he was as a football player. How many of you were awesome in a past life? You know, I got great memories. I could sit here and believe me, I'd do it to my detriment. Oh, Youth Alive and packed and auditoriums and the altar's full. That's dead. Moses is dead. Let me try it again. Have a burial service. The problem is we don't want to bury stuff, therefore God can't resurrect it. Come on, we want resurrection of stuff. Help me out here. I'm preaching better than you. Raise your hand if you're picking up what I'm putting out. We want God to, but you aren't dying to stuff. Yesterday, I got a phone call from a dear friend of mine from Nashville. Married my former secretary, Bronwyn. And this guy's father is a prophet. His name is Tony Scott. Great man of God. 2001, my life was falling apart. Remember, early in the morning, I got a phone call from Pastor Tony Scott about 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning. And he says, g'day, Pat. Tony Scott, did I wake you up? I said, no, I've been just waiting for you to call. I mean, you know. He says, I got a word from God for you. Your future is waiting the burial of your past. Until you bury it, you'll never have a future. Good memories. You think good memories don't hold people back? How many of you got kids in your eyes, they never grow up? Don't raise your hand right now. Coming up here this morning, I was on the phone to my eldest daughter, my firstborn. Firstborns are a trip. They still think they're the parents. Who's got firstborns? Ever notice they still want to control you? Give me a wave if you've had that pleasant experience. There we go. Three honest men in the room. They still think they're the head of the home. I remember when I had to die. You know, I got three daughters. I still got one that's a teenager. Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I ride on my staff, they come, you know. I remember the day, and I did this with both my son-in-laws. Anthony was the first. Nathan was. I can still tell you where I was. One, I was in my downstairs study. The second one, I was outside. And I said, this is the day before they got married. I said, as of now, I'm in charge. Tomorrow, when I hand them over to you, that's dead. You're in charge. Now, here's my covenant with you. If you ever argue with them, and I remember I said to them, I said, and I've trained them, good or bad or indifferent, to respect you. Now, if you ever argue with my daughter and my daughter comes to me, I will choose your side over her because I raised her. But if you ever touch her, that's the point where we break covenant. Moses is dead. Moses was awesome. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. Are you still with me? Give me a wave. Moses was awesome. Have a look at this. Moses, God promised to Moses. How come Moses didn't get in there? Turn with me to Deuteronomy. Quick, turn with me to Deuteronomy. We've got to turn fast here this morning. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 34. This is so good. Deuteronomy 34. It says this. Moses went up to the plains of Moab, to the Mount Nebo of Jericho and Naphtali and everything else. And then the Lord said to Moses, watch this, verse 4. This is the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. What God left out was, and you. And I've caused you to see it all with your eyes, but you're not going to enter. That's so unfair. 40 years in the wilderness. Now let me tell you why that was. How many of you all know that we all have weaknesses in our lives? Moses had a temper. The most humblest man in all the world, but he's got a temper on him. He kills a man. This guy has gone through 80 years, 40 years of carrying a million people through a desert. And one day, the murmuring, look, the people of Israel murmured and murmured and murmuring and whinging is enough to drive even a man of God nuts. No matter how godly you are, murmuring will get you. They're complaining about the water. They're complaining about no food. And God said to them, in Deuteronomy, I don't have time to get into it. God said, for 40 years, your shoes never wore out. For 40 years, you never lacked food every day. Manna out of heaven every day. And you're murmuring. 40 years. One day, Moses gets so upset. One day, he got so mad, he tore his clothes off. He's so mad, he rips his clothes off. He's so angry at him. And then he gives him a miracle. Then the next time, he says, you rebels here. Another time, he gets so mad. Not only does he do that, you know, they're wanting to run off and find some other leader. What's Moses do? He turns to God, and God reveals himself to him. And then one day, they're complaining about the water. And God said, Moses, speak to the rock. Now, the rock is a symbol of Jesus. And Moses gets so mad. He smites the rock twice. First one, God's going to give you a pass. Second time, God says, Moses, it says, you didn't halo me. In other words, you didn't respect, and you didn't honor your first priority. Now you're going to see it, Moses, but you're not going to enter it. Do you know what will stop you from entering promises of God? How are you still with me? Give me a wave. Don't worry, we'll get happy in a minute. You're complaining about what you don't have. You're complaining about what you lost. They complain. They said to Moses, if only we were back in Egypt. These people suffered from spiritual amnesia. They forgot what their life was like before that. How many of you here today, come on, work with me, church. How many of you here today have got stuff that you prayed God to give you and now we whinge about it? The very thing God gave you as an answer. We complain. Oh, God, give me a husband. And he sends you one. Then you go, God, take him home. God, give me a wife. And God does. Say amen or ouch or something, please. Now, Moses, he wasn't too old. He had great sight. He had all that. Now, in verse 8, it says this. Verse 8, it says that Moses died. They wept. That's it. Moses is dead. Moses didn't enter. Stop following dead things. Have a burial service. Can I get a yes or a yes? Bury your past. Bury your mistake. Bury what needs to be buried. And maybe God will resurrect it. Can I get an amen to this, please? Bury what? Bury something. You know what? I've had two marriage breakdowns. Two. I've had to bury some stuff. And I can't afford going back on what could have been, what should have been, what would have been. It would be dishonoring this lady sitting right in the front row. She wasn't supposed to be here this morning. She told me she was coming to Qumrah. She lied. But come on, what have you not buried yet? What are you keeping alive with a spiritual defibrillator? What are you keeping alive with life support that needs to die? When my mum was dying, and I'll get on to my three other points in a minute. My mum was dying. And I said, God, take her home. He said, you won't let me. Second thing, come on, are you still with me? Come on, I'll finish real quick. You've got to let some stuff die. Number two, are you still with me? Number two, that stop murmuring was my number two. Number three, don't look back. Turn with me quickly, turn back. Turn with me to Luke 17, verse 32. 17, verse 32. This is an amazing scripture. Luke 17, verse 32. Number one, you've got to bury some stuff. Number two, we've got to stop our murmuring and move on and speak what words of life. Watch this. Jesus speaks here about his second coming. In that day, he was on the housetop and his goods are in the house. Let him not go down to take them away. And likewise, the one who's in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Out of all the women in the Bible, Jesus could have said, he could have said, Esther, the great deliverer, for whom such a time was this. Deborah, the great woman. Ruth, what an amazing woman. Mary, my mother, who's all you've got to do is say something, God will do it. Sarah, out of all the women in the Bible, Jesus gives one woman as a warning, Lot's wife. He says, don't be like her. What did she do? Well, have a look in the book of Genesis. Everybody say book of geniuses. Are you still with me? Are you happy? Genesis 19. Come on, if you want to get forward, you got, remember Lot's wife. Watch this. Then the men said, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons and your daughters, whom you ever have. Your sons, your daughters, your son-in-laws, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place before the outcry against us has grown before the face of the Lord. So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws who had married his daughters. And they said, and he said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this. But to his son-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. Wow. His son-in-laws thought this was a joke. And the angel comes down, when the morning dawned, the angels returned to Lot, said, hurry, arise, take your wife and your two daughters. Where's the sons? Where's the sons? They didn't want any part of it. Watch this. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hand of the daughters. And the Lord, being merciful to him, said, he brought them out. In other words, the angels of God grabbed him and said, now get out of here. And all of a sudden, and God says, don't look back. And this is so sad. Why did Lot's wife look back? I'll tell you why. There's only one thing that would cause any adult to turn back. Fill in the blank. She looked back at the two that weren't coming along. And while that happened, they escape. Watch this. And they get to the safe place. And the daughters say, there's no man on the earth, which is not true. There was plenty. Let's go sleep with our father. You can see the tragedy of this. She looked back. Why didn't she grab the boys? You know, I loathed my father's beatings, but I respected my mother's scolding. Give me a wave, you get it. No correction there. Wait, but this is so sad. It gets even sadder. Why would these girls think any different? When the two angels of God come to destroy, to give the warning to Lot, the brave men said, give me those two good-looking men that just came into the house. You know what Lot said? Don't touch them. They've been men of God sent to me by God. Take my daughters and do with them what you want. Lot became a victim of two things. The culture and looking back. How many of you want to move on? Stop looking back. Why did Jesus say, because if you look back, if you look behind, you get left behind. Can I get a clap on that one? And the last one. You got to cross over. Everybody say cross over. All right, I'll be finished in a minute. I know I'm taking long, but a few minutes more. But can I just finish this? Give me a wave, please. Come on, it's not 10:30 yet. I got 5 minutes on the clock. Every place that you set your foot on. Now watch this. Arise, go, the land, the promise, it's all there for you. The blessing, the increase, the prosperity, the abundance. Come on, give me a wave, you get it. And God says, now, what you got to do, now here's the thing. Moses is dead. Bury the past. Stop your whining. Now cross over. How many people, my God, how many people in life? You know what God says. You know the priority. You know it. But you won't cross over. And here's the interesting thing. I love this verse in the Bible. And God says, now I know you've never been this way before. How many of you have been to a place in your life where you've never been there before? Come on, everyone. God says, cross over. But God, there's a mountain here. But God, there's a Jordan here. And God said, you cross over and you leave the Jordan to me. All this promise, all this stuff, all this abundance, all this blessing. We've never been here before. God, what do? God says, just cross over. Let the dead bury the dead. Get over the past. Stop the murmuring. That killed your previous generation. Isn't it funny how we repeat the stuff of the past? And God says, cross over. Watch this. And when they began, God parted the Jordan just like he parted the Red Sea. And when, I don't have time to get in because my time's gone. And when they finally, all of them crossed over, what did God do? He brought the Jordan back to overflowing. And if you want your rivers to overflow, if I want my rivers to overflow, I've got to start a burial service. I've got to stop my murmuring. I've got to not look back. And I've got to take a step. And if God shuts that door, let him bring the overflow. Can I get an amen to that, please? I'm telling you, our 2020 can be awesomely different if we do these things, guys. How many of you believe God's got a great plan for you? I want you to stand. Come on, my time's gone and they'll start sweating down there at Coomera. They're not as sophisticated as us Logan people. Father, I thank you. Father, we don't want to get left behind. Lord, we don't want to look at your promises in our future and look in the past and think that that's better. Lord, we don't want to look with longing eyes like Lot's wife. Father, we realize this is a new season. Lord, today we commit to burying things that need to be buried. Lord, today we commit to crossing over. Even though we see a Jordan in front of us, Lord, I thank you that we can cross over to the other side. Lord, I ask, give us the spiritual fortitude like you gave Joshua. The reason why God said to Joshua, be strong and of good courage, is because he needed it and he knew it wasn't going to be easy. If you could do this in yourself, it would have happened already. Your destiny is waiting the burial of your past. Your destiny is waiting you to cross over. Father, I pray increase in everyone's life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Ross.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, boardchurch.com.